This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps people find fulfilling careers. Every Wednesday on this show, I interview a career expert. We discuss the tools you need to find the work you want. This week, I'm talking to Lisa Rangel about how to find a job without using a job board. Lisa Rangel teaches others how to get hired by great employers. She's the founder and managing director of two companies, Chameleon Resumes and Job Landing Academy. She joins us today from Rutherford, New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Lisa. Let's get right into it. Why shouldn't our listeners go straight to a job board when looking for work?
Hi, Mac. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I am a big believer in, you know, if you want to get hired by people, that you should reach out to people. And, you know, job boards by no means are bad in any universal way. But, you know, individuals have networks of, you know, corporate alumni. They have college alumni. They have social media contacts. They have personal contacts. And, you know, a lot of studies have shown that about 65 to 70% of hires happen through those networks. And only about, you know, 20 to 25% of hires happen through job boards. So, you know, if you want to be replied to by a person, I'm a big believer in reaching out to people.
So you're not encouraging people to ignore job boards altogether, are you, Lisa?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah. So can you put that into context for our listeners? How much time should they spend on job boards in general, do you think?
You know, I think to spend your time in that breakdown and the remaining, you know, 10 to 15% is through third party recruiters. I think spending your time in that same, breakdown is appropriate. I think where job seekers can run into some trouble is when they spend most of their time on the job boards. That's not really going to be, they're going to find that for most people, that's not really very productive. You know, job boards are very good for individuals that are staying in their industry, you know, looking for a similar type of position or the very obvious next step, you know, somewhat linear, you know, type progression of a background, because that's naturally feeding the keyword, you know, algorithm. Whereas when you're a career changer or you've had a gap or you start taking on additional responsibilities that, you know, are not necessarily part of your entire background. So now you're not heavily keyword weighted or in a particular area. When your background is not naturally going to be written using all the keywords that maybe are going to exist in the target role that you have, you're going to find that most likely you will falter when only submitting to job boards, which is really important to use other channels, which is your networks, the networks I just mentioned. The other thing to keep in mind from a recruiter's standpoint, as a recruiter for 13 years, you know, recruiters, hiring managers, whether they're in HR, outside of HR, when they have an open role, they typically go to their networks first. And, you know, employees, again, college networks, corporate alumni, social media connections and whatnot. And when they don't find the individual that they want to either interview or even hire, then they typically go to the job boards to post it. So that's, you know, so then it's already typically a hard to fill position. And then once it's public on a job board, everybody's, you know, posting. So you have a lot of competition, which is really what makes it a bottleneck for most people. The other thing to keep in mind with job boards is, given that most hiring managers go to employees and people they know first, they often sometimes have people earmarked for a particular job, but because of corporate policies and whatnot, they have to post it publicly. A lot of times job postings that are public are already filled, and hence why individuals start to wonder, why are they posting a job if it's already filled? Well, that's why. It's because of a policy and so it winds up spinning a lot of wheels for individuals.
Okay. So that's a lot of great information. Let's step back and unpack some of that, Lisa. And let's start with your first point about time. And what I'm hearing you say is the amount of time you spend on a job board really depends on, first, where you are in your career and what your job search goal is. Is that right?
It is. It's important to, you know, really have a goal in which you're looking when you start your search. So this way, you know, you have the end in mind. For those individuals that are unsure where to go next, The goal, frankly, is an exploratory search. And you could still have an idea of who you need to speak to get into information about how to narrow your search. But the key is to always start out with the end in mind. The end in some individuals' cases will be to land a specific job. And for those individuals that are unsure what they want to do next, the end goal is to get information so that they can narrow their search. You know, so I think the key is to always have a goal in mind. The goal just may be, you know, further up or further down the spectrum of reaching, you know, finality. So
okay. So for those job seekers with just a laser defined focus and a clear understanding of what they want, job boards can be useful.
Absolutely. I mean, job boards, I feel like they're a plethora of information. They can help you with job titles that you can then go research the people that you want to reach out to and contact. So, I mean, they're by no means to be abandoned. But, you know, I'd say use them more for research and use them, you know, in a way that accounts for about maybe, you know, 20 to 25% of your job search time.
Okay. And then if you're uncertain about your goal, what I'm hearing you say is that informational interviews are a good way to find out what opportunities might exist and what might be required, but you probably don't want to use the application process through a job board as a sort of a discovery phase. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very true, because you'll submit to the job you think you want to do in hopes of learning more about it, but because you might not have a thorough understanding of what's required of that job. You may not have the right bullets on your resume or keywords within the content of your document or your profile for that matter. And then you're not going to get the interview, and then you'll feel dejected. Where if you're reaching out to individuals directly and you phrase it in a way that you're looking for some, an informational discussion, or here's where you think you might be able to add some value and you want to have a discussion around that, at least the expectation is clear that you're not necessarily applying to the job, but it's more of an informational discussion. And individuals that open-minded individuals are going to be more likely to say yes to that request, as opposed to thinking you want to just apply directly from the job. But when they look at your documents, they don't think you're qualified. So that's when they'll, not give you a favorable reply.
You also mentioned the importance of referrals, Lisa, and how recruiters and hiring managers rely on these referrals when filling a job. Tell us more about that, why it's important, and what would you say to listeners who think, well, gosh, how do I get a referral like that?
When I recruited, it was, the question was always when you're on the phone or in an email or, other social media direct message tools, you were always asking, who do you know? You weren't necessarily trying to recruit the individual that you had a connection with all the time. You were asking that person, who do they know who fits this profile? And it's almost like a following the bouncing ball type of, discovery process. If you're asking 50 people, who do they know? They're giving you, 2 to 3 people apiece. And then you're trying to speak to those 2 to 3 people apiece. So you can see how you start to really broaden your network and possibilities of individuals to consider for a particular role. For individuals who ask that very, valid question of how do I get in that, is really start at themselves. Just the other day in LinkedIn's Premium Career Group, where I'm a moderator, someone said, when everyone says you're supposed to network, but you feel like you've exhausted your network, what are you supposed to do? And when I looked at his profile, he had 500 plus connections. He worked at big name companies, and he went to a good, a well-named, well-regarded school, college. So I said, have you reached out to every one of your 500 plus connections? Have you looked up individuals from each of your corporate employers and reached out to them as a corporate alumni connection and leverage that, see what they're up to? Have you looked for individuals in your major that graduated from your school? Plus, have you gone to professional association meetings and networked there? Have you gone to conventions? Have you gone to conferences? I was like, it really is endless in terms of how you can slice and dice a list of to network with and reach out to. I said, so it's just a matter of seeing the possibilities as opposed to seeing the limitations.
So what stops people from doing that, Lisa? Why doesn't someone like that, who has all those assets, the graduation from a well-regarded school, time spent at recognized big corporations and all those LinkedIn connections, Why haven't they typically leveraged those connections?
That's a great question, and some of the answer I have, you know, my observations and philosophy, and in all honesty, some of the answer is probably above my pay grade. But I think the answer can vary for different groups of people. You know, I think those that may be more senior and have progressed in their career, the thought of, you know, reaching out to people they don't know to kind of pitch their wares again when they feel like they should be in a position of arrival where, you know, everybody should know who they are and that they've already done this and they don't have to do it again. I think there's just a fear of rejection. I think for, you know, people just starting their career, you know, and I'm not going to simply just do a sweeping blaming of social media and people don't know how to talk to each other, but I think there's just, you know, a resistance or fear of reaching out to people and not knowing how to do it, not knowing how to do it directly, and not knowing how to do it person to person when you've, you know, kind of grown up in a spotlight of social media of people looking at you. Now you have to go seek out people. There's a general theme in every demographic of like, I don't want to bother them, you know. And my answer to that is, you know, those, you will bother some people. And frankly, if someone's bothered by you reaching out to them in a polite, persistent way, then that's, you know, and I'm not necessarily a religious person, but I believe in, you know, maybe that's God's way of telling you that's not the place you should be working at, you know? So I think there's just a general fear, you know, fear of rejection, fear of it not working, or that sort of thing. But I just tell people you have to focus on what is working, who does reply. You know, if you reach out to 10 people you know, you'll probably get 6 or 7 responses. If you're reaching out to 10 people you don't know, you're going to have a great day if you get 1 or 2 responses. And the key is to focus on those 1 or 2, not the 9 or 8 who didn't reply.
Okay. So be prepared for rejection. Focus on your successes. What about for people who are just struggling to learn these skills or don't have them? How do you see the people you work with get good at making these requests and making the most of their networks?
You know, I think just start small and start simply. You know, I think individuals think they have to come up with this long email or this rationale, and they get caught up in the writing of what they should say and or how they should say it. And, you know, it comes down to the fact that people are people. And, you know, if you reach out to them like a person without this long, you know, job search speak type of email and just a normal, you know, person email, you'll often get a response. You know, I try to tell people tactically not to do anything longer than a scroll or two on a phone. You know, because if it's longer than a scroll or two, most people probably won't get through it and reply. And put your request simply and concisely in respectfully. And you're going to make mistakes. Accept that you're going to make mistakes. Accept that you're going to learn things you didn't know that you didn't know as you go that will improve the next reach out, and it will get better.
Okay. Well, so in summary, thinking about our conversation so far, it's, you know, you need to recognize that many jobs are not posted on job boards. They get filled by referrals, and there's an opportunity for everybody to both grow a network or leverage their existing contacts to get in front of hiring managers and others who are making decisions. There was another point you touched on I want to address in a moment, which is the jobs that get posted that may already have been filled or there's a candidate in mind for those. But we're going to take a quick break, Lisa, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about why you need to stop looking at job boards when you're doing your job search. Employers hire problem solvers, people who know how to get things done. But in most resumes, applicants describe past responsibilities, not results. That's one of the top resume mistakes hiring managers say job seekers make every day. Do you want to know the other 7? We've got a new free guide that tells you. It's called Don't Make These 8 Killer Resume Mistakes. Get your copy today. It's free. Go to maxlist.org/resume-mistakes. Your resume alone won't get you a job, but a bad one can take you out of the running faster than you can say the words circular file. Download Don't Make These 8 Killer Resume Mistakes. Go to maxlist.org/resume mistakes. You'll get a 10-page guide, and it shows you the most common resume errors that could sink your next application. Here's the good news. You can fix every one of these problems yourself, and our free guide shows you how. We've had more than 3,000 employers post jobs on MaxList. So I talk to hiring managers every day, and they see the same resume mistakes again and again and again. Find out what matters to the next employer who reads your resume. Go to maxlist.org/resume mistakes. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Lisa Rangel. She owns and operates two companies, Chameleon Resumes and the Job Landing Academy. And Lisa, before the break, we were talking about how to find a job without using a job board. And one of the points you raised is something I hear a lot from job candidates as a concern, which is a worry that when they see a position on a job board, it's not real. There's somebody inside who's already measuring for the drapes for the office, and they're ready to move in, but people are being called in for job interviews and asked to submit lengthy applications, and it's kind of a show. And so, Lisa, does that actually happen? And if it does, why does it happen?
It does happen. Now, whether it should or it shouldn't, you know, that's up for another discussion. That's probably a lot longer than we have here, but it does happen. I mean, there's internal promotions that happen in organizations, but maybe the corporate policy is to post the position, you know, and the very worthy person getting the promotion shouldn't not get the promotion, but they abide by the corporate rules and they're consistent in executing those corporate rules, so they will post it. You know, and occasionally there is somebody who's better for the job that surfaces that they weren't aware of. And it's not that they don't go through the process, but the person then has to be really like heads and tails above the person that's being groomed and promoted into the job for that switch to happen. So they're going into the posting with someone already earmarked for the job, you know, who hasn't earned it in many, many cases, you know? So that's typically what's happening.
And why is the position posted at all? And when it is posted, any clues you can share with job seekers so they can think, they can understand that there might not be a real opportunity here?
Well, it's often real, but it's just that someone else has been earmarked for it. So it's just part of the corporate policy to post the job opening so they can say that everyone knew about it, you know, both internally and externally. But they do have someone in mind, and that's the threshold in which everyone applying is getting measured against versus it being an open role that has nobody in mind. You know, that's mainly the difference. And then the other scenario that I thought of just as you rephrased the question was, you know, some third-party recruiters, if they specialize in a certain area, certain types of positions, specific professions, specific industries, and they're getting repeated requests from their corporate clients to present candidates of a specific background, they may run a similar type of ad over and over again just to kind of keep that inventory of that type of candidate pipeline full, because they often do get roles and they want to be ready, because that's how third-party recruiters generate their fees. It's presenting qualified candidates quickly to their organizations as their clients. So they will often preemptively run ads anticipating an opening, but technically the opening isn't present at the moment. But their goal is to get qualified candidates in, so when their client company calls them with a particular opening, they've already had individuals screened, qualified, and interested, and that they can then present very quickly, because that's how they make their commissions.
Okay. We've talked about why people should step away from job boards during a search and what the value of job boards are as well. Let's talk about how to... that's the why, but let's talk about the how, Lisa. How do people you work with, how do you see them find work without relying only on job boards? Where do listeners begin?
We're big advocates of the process of, you know, what are the titles of the individuals you would report to at a particular company, and then look for individuals with those titles at the companies where you're interested in working, and find those individuals. You know, don't necessarily go to HR, unless of course you're in HR, then you need to find that person you would report to an HR's title. But, you know, what are the titles of the prospective bosses you will have at companies where you're interested in working, and create your target list of contacts to reach out to, your target list of hiring managers to reach out to in that way. And this way you're going straight to the individual who would oversee someone in your role, you know, and be involved, obviously, very intimately with the hiring of the person in that role. Frankly, that's how we found, you know, job openings to work on when I recruited. So it's really the same process that we used to find openings to work on, because then I was a former third-party recruiter, so I would find openings to work on, and then I would fill them, and that's how we made our commission. So it's best to reach out to individuals that would be responsible for the hiring and the managing of that person, and start your relationship building from there.
So people make a list of the jobs that interest them. They identify the titles of the people who supervise those positions. They've tracked down the email addresses. They're ready to send off that first email to ask for a meeting. What happens next, Lisa?
So, you know, if they are just emailing the individual without a job posting present, then it's really more of an exploratory discussion. And, you know, if there is a job posting present, so do submit it through the job posting, but I would still reach out to a potential manager or someone that sounds like they could be the manager of that role, and reach out to them directly. And, you know, if it's in an exploratory capacity, you can outline that you've done research on the company, and based on, you know, what you've seen combined with what you do, that there could be a possibility that you might be a good addition there, but you would welcome an exploratory conversation to see what's going on with the department, to see how you can add value. And that's a general, you know, template of that type of email. And the more specific you can be based on your own achievements that may be applicable to what's going on in the department based on your research, the stronger that letter will be. But that's the general template. And then if there is an opening present, you can indicate that you've applied, and that you can indicate how, based on what's in the job description, you have specific achievements that speak to doing that work that's required in the job description. So speak to what they need and how you have done it successfully, you know, in your brief letter, reaching out to them for a meeting.
And in your experience, Lisa, why do managers take those meetings? As particularly the managers who have an open position that they're hiring for, why don't they simply tell someone who contacts them, I can't talk to you, go to HR?
You know, you will always run into people who will tell you to contact HR, you know, for various reasons. You know, there's been slapped in the hand before talking to a candidate because the policy is so strict in the company, or they say to go to HR because they're not interested in your background, or there's a myriad of reasons why somebody may say that. But, you know, I find that if a particular department head has been struggling to find someone, maybe they've miscommunicated with the HR person. Maybe the HR person isn't prioritizing their role for various reasons. And they get someone directly who seems like they could be a good fit for the job. They're going to make that interview happen, because they will try to get the person in and then circle HR on the back end. Again, you focus on those that reply, you know, I find that if you want to work for someone who breaks the rules a little bit in a good way, you know, is always looking for someone who can really add value to their department and make their job easier. I said, frankly, that's really what, to me, the root of every hire is, are you making your boss's job easier? And their proactive people will take these calls. You know, rule followers, people who might be afraid of breaking, you know, the policies and, you know, or a little lazy maybe, they're not going to take the calls. But then those are probably people you don't want to work for anyway. So again, you focus on those that take the calls from this alternative way of doing the search, because that means they think in an alternative way. And I find that you find better, you know, quality people to work with and better quality jobs to work on or work in, because, you know, they're doing a more personalized approach.
Okay. And what does success look like in a conversation like that, both with a manager who might have an open position that you've applied for, and then the other scenario you described where there's no opening, but this is somebody who is hiring the kind of for the kinds of jobs you want. When you walk out of those two rooms, Lisa, what should you hope to get?
You know, success can be viewed in a few different ways. You know, if it's an exploratory position, an exploratory conversation, you know, there genuinely may not be an opening, but they liked you and they're going to keep you in mind for other things. And so success will be that they keep you in mind, you touch base every couple of months, and, you know, in 4, 5, 6 months or a year later, something comes up. Or they may refer you to another area internally, if it's a larger company, or within that hiring manager's own network, they may refer you to someone they know at a different company. If it's an opening that prompted you reaching out to that hiring manager, they're going to probably move you along in the process, you know, and you may be a little out of order in meeting the hiring manager first, then HR, but then they're going to start to facilitate moving you through that process, no matter what order it has to happen. So I find that success can be viewed a few different ways, and that's a few different ways in which it can happen.
And the key word that jumps out for me as you speak, Lisa, is referral, because as you said at the beginning of the of our conversation, many jobs are filled by referrals, and your challenge as a job seeker is to get into that universe of people who are making referrals, isn't it?
And I think it's very true. And I think you have to be in that mindset, because you may go on this exploratory conversation or even a conversation about a defined open role. And success can also look like you realize it's not for you, right? So now you have some clarity of what to do next. You may even have a referral for them based on your network. So if you're looking at it from a give and take standpoint and not just what you can take, I just think, you know, not to sound all woo-woo, but like I really believe like karmically that stuff always works out. So I think if you go into these types of meetings, whether it's exploratory or about a defined position, as a position of equals, exchanging information and seeing how you can help each other move forward, success can happen, or success can look very different based on just the connection of two people who have that type of mindset. You know, I would view realizing that scenario or that company or that new job isn't for me as a success, because now I have defined something I don't want that helps me figure out and get closer to what I do want. And I may be able to refer someone else in, which affects their future. So I view that as a win, even though I didn't get the interview or the job, the next interview or the job. So I think it's just a matter of your mindset of how you view that success.
I like your 2 points there about the importance of going into those meetings as a peer, not to be arrogant, but recognizing that you have a lot to offer as well.
Yeah.
And that you have an opportunity to make referrals. And because everybody who is a professional working in the workplace has skills and strengths and things to offer. Well, Lisa, we could talk about this for a long time,
but you're a joy.
We do have to bring it to a close. I want to ask, what's next for you?
What's next for me? So it's an exciting time. The month of June, 2019 is our 10-year anniversary of Chameleon Resumes. So that's exciting. And we're also launching a new offshoot of our business called Job Landing Academy, which is an online academy that our goal is to teach people how to look for a job. I think it's a skill set that is very lacking in our marketplace, as evidenced by your first question of why people are sometimes afraid to reach out. And that's really what we want to teach everyone to do. And we also just recently launched a YouTube channel, Million Resumes YouTube channel. So
terrific.
That's what's new for us. We got a lot going on and a lot to celebrate. Very grateful.
Well, congratulations on your anniversary. And I know people can learn more about you, your company, your services by visiting chameleonresumes.com and joblandingacademy.com. Now, Lisa, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember when thinking about how to find a job without using a job board?
I'd say use your networks, and you have networks. You know, think of past employers, even if you don't know individuals. You have in common that employer that you used to work at, college alumni, professional networks, your LinkedIn connections, and go beyond your first degree connections and just reach out to people. Spend the majority of your time reaching out to people. Not only does it fill your soul and the personal connection, you know, really, you'll find it rewarding regardless of the end result of the conversation, but that's really where people create jobs around talent. It's where people start to see you in positions that you talk about, and it just yields a much better quality job search experience that yields in better success.
Terrific. Thanks for joining us today, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
That was a great conversation with Lisa. As you probably know, MaxList runs a job board. We're very proud of the value it offers, both to job seekers and employers here in the Pacific Northwest. But I'll be the first to tell you, most jobs, no one knows how many for certain, don't appear on job boards. There are estimates out there that anywhere between 40 to 80% of jobs get filled by word of mouth. So Lisa's point about the power of referrals is so important. And it applies whether you're learning about a job through word of mouth or you're coming in through the front door through an online application. Because if you know someone inside an organization who can vouch for you, that's going to help your candidacy so much. Whether you meet with someone in person or you apply through a job board, you got to have a resume that is in tip-top shape. We've got a guide that can help. It's called Don't Make These 8 Killer Resume Mistakes. And we've had more than 3,000 employers post jobs on MaxList, so I talk to hiring managers all the time. And they tell me they see people making the same mistakes again and again on their resume. We tell you what those errors are, and we show you how to fix them. You can get your free copy of our guide today. Go to maxlist.org/resume-mistakes. Well, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Please join us next Wednesday. Our expert will be Roy Notowitz. And he'll share everything you need to know about executive search firms. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.